Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Welcome back, everyone, to tonight's video. First things first, a special shout out to Jay Group, who is the author of tonight's story. And let me tell you, it is horrifying. It is about this family in Canada who is meeting up with some friends to go camping in Algonquin Park. And while they are traveling and canoeing, trying to meet up with their friends, they encounter some horrifying events. Stay tuned. If you're new to the channel, subscribe, click on that bell, and smash that thumbs up and tell a friend. The drive to Algonquin Park lasted longer than expected. After running into traffic and making a few wrong turns along the way, we got there late in the afternoon. My dad paid the fees at the front gate and proceeded the drive through the remaining kilometers into the park. We eventually found our way to the canoe launch and got out of the van, stretching our legs. My dad and Uncle Steve were looking over the maps, which appeared to have been hand-drawn by park rangers and were encased in clear plastic. I watched as they traced the route we would be traveling. They both agreed that it shouldn't be too complicated to make it to the campground, despite the fact that we had been delayed getting there. A little bit late in the day to start a portaging trip, said a ranger to my dad as we were packing the last of our camping supplies into the canoes. We're meeting up with some friends who are out there waiting for us. They've already set up camp, so we just gotta make it out there to the island. Well, be careful. Once it gets dark in Algonquin, it becomes a whole different world. You folks be safe now. Thanks, we will. My dad had lectured us the whole way there in a similar fashion, and I couldn't help but grin to hear him getting a taste of his own medicine. Apparently, there were people who got lost in the park every year, never to be seen again. There were bears and wolves, coyotes and other animals in the wilderness, and we would be guests in their domain. I climbed into the front of the one boat and my uncle took a seat in the back. My brother was in the other canoe, and my dad climbed in awkwardly, nearly tipping it over in the process. The water was crystal clear and pristine, and I could see minnows swimming in the shallows, frogs and tadpoles. I took a deep breath in, enjoying the crisp, fresh air of the northern outdoors, and admired a great blue heron that was resting in the shade nearby. Paddling along the river, we found our way towards a lake which opened up before us, revealing our first glimpse at the pristine beauty of the provincial park. The silence was overwhelming, away from our car mufflers and computer fans and the constant noise of the city. The sense of sudden peace was overwhelming. All I could hear was the sound of my paddle slicing through the calm water, and the occasional call of a bird from the surrounding pine forest that engulfed us. Other trees and plant life lined the lake as well. Maples and white birches. Some pale-looking twisted trees sprang from the high cliffs above, growing against all odds, their roots hanging on from rocky outcrops that ranged in rusty reddish colors. My brother Noel and my dad were struggling with their canoe coordination. Noel and I frequently went fishing using the canoes at our cabin when we went up there, so I knew he wasn't the one having issues. It was my dad. My dad had never operated a canoe before, I realized in that moment. Although he had spoken confidently saying he knew what he was doing, he was struggling. He had insisted on sitting in the rear of the canoe, which is the most crucial position in the boat since you act as the rudder, and also the primary source of power. Noel was fruitlessly paddling away up front, while my dad lackadaisically slapped at the water, sending the boat veering back and forth in a zigzag pattern. His ineffectual efforts eventually caused Noel to get slightly annoyed, and I heard them bickering with each other. I looked back at them trailing far behind us, and saw their twisting, turning path was taking them all over the lake, where we were traveling more or less in a straight line. "Has your dad ever paddled a canoe before?" Steve asked. "I think it's been a while by the looks of it." "Oh boy, maybe you should let Noel steer." "Yeah, I'll suggest that at the first stop." We arrived at the first place where we had to portage across a short stretch. For those who aren't familiar, this means that you have to carry your canoe across the dry land for a little ways to get to the next river or lake so that you can continue your trip. If you have a cooler and luggage and other means, you have to hike back and forth sometimes 2 or 3 times. This is when it comes in handy to pack light. It took us 2 trips to bring everything including the canoes to the other side. The hike between lakes was about 10 minutes, so it wasn't too strenuous.
"That was the easy one according to the map," my Uncle Steve said. "The next one is much further."
"Great," I thought to myself. "I guess it'll be my job to carry the cooler again, too." We got back into the carved wooden boats and started paddling once more. My uncle had the map and was directing us which way to go, while my brother followed with my dad and the other canoe. At least he had managed to get him to switch seats, though. As we went along, I saw they were now keeping pace with us, with Noel at the rear of the boat generating more power, and his more experienced paddling keeping them on course.
"What do you guys know about the legends of Algonquin?" my uncle asked us, making conversation.
He and my dad both had a wealth of knowledge on various topics, but this thing was like my uncle's specialty. He was an avid outdoorsman and a skilled fisherman who took a deep interest in Aboriginal culture and the stories they told over the generations.
"Nothing, really," I said.
"So you never heard of the Mimi-Gueski?"
We all stayed silent and waited for him to explain. My uncle was a bit of a jokester as well, so it was hard to tell if he was just kidding sometimes. I like to put on a straight face and tell an elaborate lie in the form of a story, just to take you along for the ride. So we waited to see if he was trying to fool us before answering yes or no.
"They are water spirits. Mischievous little buggers. They'll steal your camping supplies if you're not careful. Food, clothing, fishing rods, whatever they like. And they could send your canoe off course, too. You'll just be paddling along like you are now, and the Mimi-Gueski will send you off from the proper course, and you'll end up lost. If you don't show them the proper respect, that is."
"Okay, enough with that, Steve. Quit trying to scare the kids with that crap. We're barely going to make it to the campsite before dark as it is. Right turn ahead here. The map says it's going to be over this way." We veered our boats in that direction at my dad's insistence, and I noticed we were in a very shallow section full of reeds and plants. The canoes were almost touching the bottom of the lake.
"Should we go this way? I don't think that's what the map is saying."
My uncle was looking at the narrow river doubtfully. The area we were headed towards looked like a swamp, and mosquitoes were already beginning to land on me and bite my neck as we got closer. My dad and uncle pondered over the map for a while, and my brother and I sat there slapping at the bugs landing on us. Eventually, they decided to take the route which led us down the shallow, windy river surrounded by tall reeds. I could tell by the silence of them both that they were not sure if this way was correct. The further we got, and the more time passed, I noticed the sun had begun to set. Pretty soon it was almost dark outside, and the water eventually became so shallow that it was nearly dried up. The river was turned into a muddy creek, and we were forced to turn around.
"Uh-oh," my dad said. "We must have gone the wrong way. We'll have to go back to that lake. I think I read the map wrong."
My uncle bit his tongue, and we paddled back against the current.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium, unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
The lake was empty, and it was completely dark by the time we got back to it. There was no moon that night, and nothing to light our way. My dad told me to get out the flashlight and cast the beam towards shore, looking for a reflective sign with the symbol of a portage point.
Just keep that flashlight pointed at the shore, and tell us if you see a reflection sign anywhere, Jordan. This next portage should take us to the lake with the campsite, so there shouldn't be too much farther to go after we find it.
My heartbeat was quickening with anxious fear as our canoes traveled along the near shore in almost total darkness. I swung the flashlight beam around to check for deadheads and rocks in our path, and told my uncle to veer left or right to avoid hitting things that would have tipped us over.
"We gotta be careful. Don't want to fall into these waters. There's another legend that the people of this area used to speak of," my uncle said while he paddled, trying to distract us from the precarious situation we had gotten ourselves into. "The Mishigabig is a huge horned serpent. It lives in lakes and eats people."
"Okay, Steve, that's about enough,"
my dad was yelling when my ears caught a sound that I couldn't place. It was steady and persistent, coming from just ahead.
The canoes were picking up speed. I looked back and saw that my dad and uncle weren't paddling. They weren't paying attention at all. They were just arguing with each other about who had taken the wrong turn.
"You and your ridiculous legends, you are distracting us all with this useless garbage."
"Don't say that. You're going to get them upset. You should apologize."
I finally managed to find my voice and yell back at them. "There's a waterfall up ahead. We're paddling towards a waterfall."
They chuckled and told me that was ridiculous. There was no waterfall on the map. Then they began to bicker again, and I started to get extremely nervous. The canoes were moving faster and faster, but nobody was paddling anymore. I was just a kid, so they weren't listening to me.
"Can you not see what's happening?" I yelled at them. "Look how fast we're moving. There's a waterfall up ahead."
They abruptly stopped arguing, and now the sound of rushing water could be distinctly heard from up ahead.
"Okay, let's start paddling towards shore. I think we need to start paddling towards the shore, like, right now."
My dad was trying to sound calm, but I could hear the panic in his voice. We began to paddle as hard as we could. In the dim light, I barely saw anything but the silhouette of trees all around us, and the inner black water of the lake. Shimmering reflections of stars were floating on the surface of it, speeding past at an increasing rate. We began to make some headway, getting closer to the shoreline, but then suddenly our efforts became futile. We were being sucked in, drawn inextricably towards the waterfall. I looked ahead and saw it, drawing close. The night sky sat serenely above the surface of the turbulent black water which flowed downwards, disappearing from sight. And when I saw how close it was, I screamed. Watching in horror, I saw us go over the edge, and the world tipped sickeningly upside down as I fell. Becoming weightless was a harrowing experience as for a moment. I floated through the air, my screams echoing out into the night. The wolves howled in the response, and I descended, looking down to see jagged rocks waiting for us below. Far, far, far down below. We fell, and our screams echoed across the lake. I tried to point my feet downwards, afraid of what might happen if I impacted the water incorrectly. After what felt like forever, I landed in the frigid depths below. The surface of it hit me with so much force that it nearly knocked the wind out of me, and I struggled to breathe as I gasped from the cold sinking downwards. The weight of my boots dragged me below and I kicked, trying to get them off my feet. They felt like cinder blocks, and as my head dipped beneath the surface of the water, I gulped it in and it went up my nose, stinging my sinuses. I called out for help, but my pleas were drowned by the water once more.
my head went under again, and this time I stayed down longer. Struggling to get back to the surface, I looked around in the murky water and saw a pair of eyes glaring back at me from the depths. Yellow eyes that were unblinking and massive, glowing in the darkness. A tipped-over canoe was close by when I got to the surface, and I grabbed a hold of it and took gasping breaths of air. My dad and brother were okay, I saw, and my uncle had survived the fall too, although his head sustained a large gash, and he appeared dazed and hurt.
"You need to apologize, Dave,"
my uncle said to my father, sounding drunk now, his words slurred and difficult to understand.
"You've disrespected the spirits here. Apologize before they kill us all."
"What? Those stories you're telling to scare the kids? Are you still talking about that shit?" Suddenly I felt something wrap around my ankle, and although I held on to the canoe as firmly as I could, I felt myself being dragged down. There was no time to scream, but I tried to take a breath of air before being pulled down below. My uncle's hand reached down and managed to grab mine, and he held on to it for dear life. I felt like I was being pulled in the two as the thing from the depths tore at my leg, yanking me downwards. As the time passed beneath the water, my need to breathe became more urgent. I began to thrash and kick my legs, trying desperately to free myself from the thing which was pulling me down. My heartbeat was loud and fast in my ears, and I looked in terror at the yellow eyes of the thing was very close now. It was coming towards me, and in the black murky water I could just barely make out its massive horned head and gaping maw. Huge fangs and a split tongue could be seen in the dim light as the snake came face to face with me. The massive beast was so large it could swallow me whole, I realized, and I cringed and waited for that to happen, momentarily resigning to my fate. But then a light shone down from the surface, a bright torch lamp that the snake cringed to recoil in fear. It loosened its grip on my leg, and I felt my uncle pull me towards the surface. My vision was clouded red and black as I was beginning to feel I was passing out. I broke through the surface of the water and was pulled up onto a large canoe. Our friends who had been at the campsite waiting for our arrival had heard us screaming as we went over the waterfall. The campsite was close by and they had quickly gotten into their boat to come to rescue us once they realized what had happened. If it was not for them, we would have been dead. At least so it seems.
I'm sorry, I'm so sorry.
My dad was repeating the words over and over.
It's not your fault, Dave. These things happen, his friend Randy was saying, as we paddled over towards the campsite.
At least nobody got hurt, right? That's the important thing. My uncle rubbed his bleeding forehead and rolled his eyes at me.
Thanks, Uncle Steve.
No problem, kiddo.
I saw the horned serpent down there, Uncle Steve. I think you're right. We should probably be respectful of the creatures around here. I don't want to get on that guy's bad side again.
He smiled. His eyes shined red for just a second in the moonlight, and I noticed his face appeared different, like someone else entirely. A being which had been sent to help us, both ancient and wise.
Just wait until I tell you the tale of the great rabbit. I've got plenty of stories, and each with a lesson, for those who will listen and those who have ears to hear.
He put two fingers up on his head, making little bunny ears, and smiled.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.